Thank you again, my friend. You were able to go to Tortola and preach.
Yes, sir.
And the history behind that, some of you know, that's the church the Lord helped me to start many, many years ago. And I had only three members. Three members. Now you can say amen. And I know when I came to this country and I start telling some of my brothers that I started the church with only three members, they say, "Lie, but that wasn't no church." Yes, it was. And it still is. Okay? And that's all you need to start a church. So I'm thankful that you were able to go. And it's not all about me, but it's all about the good Lord. That church still survive, even though it had a hurricane damage some years ago. God is good. And I want to talk to you this morning briefly about the challenge to go through every door with the good news of salvation. I am passionate about it because I know what God has done. I know what God is doing and what God continues to do. Many years ago, the Florida Baptist Convention challenged all of its churches and pastors to make a serious effort to reach everybody within their community with the message of Christ. And so I basically want to talk about three things this morning and move on. There are three challenges that I want to offer today, and I want to read again, as the brother read earlier, verses 37 and 38 of Matthew 9. You heard him read other passages, but let me just focus on 37, and I'm reading from the New King James. "Then he said to his disciples," Jesus is speaking now, "the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." 38. "Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And those two last verses remains a challenge. That's why I use the word challenge. God is challenging us to do more than we are doing right now. Not only this church, but all of us needs to step up and do more. Three thoughts this morning. We must, number one, we must have an unhindered vision if we're going to reach our community with the message of Christ.
Yes.
Matthew 9 and verse 36, it says, "When he saw the multitude," when he saw the multitude, who is the he? Jesus Christ. He saw the multitude there, multitude of people that he saw. And because Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. So the first thing I want to notice under this unhindered vision, excuse me, is that Jesus saw the condition of the people. They were sheep having no shepherd. That's the condition in our cities, in our communities, in our state, in our world. There are people having no shepherd. Mark chapter 1 and 16. "As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw, and he said to them," the people that he saw, "follow me." The purpose, of course, I've always believed that Jesus starting his church was given in Mark chapter 1. And so, in order for him to start a church, he had to see people and he had to challenge them to follow him.
Amen.
Then we notice also that these sheep were spiritually blind, because John 3 and 3 says, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In other words, we must teach and preach that in order to get to heaven, in order to see the kingdom, you must be born again, and only Jesus Christ can do that.
Amen.
These sheep were spiritually blind because of the fact that they didn't have Jesus in their life.
Right.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 4, it says, "The God of this world, which is Satan, blinds the mind of unbelievers." He did it then, he's doing it today, and we must accept the challenge. These sheep were spiritually lost because Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There are people in our community, in our cities, in our world today who are lost. They don't believe that. But you and I, knowing the grace of God, believe that there are people who are lost. The sheep were blind, and Jesus said they couldn't understand because they were spiritually blind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14. Jesus also saw the captivity of these people because, Matthew 9 and 36 said, they were like sheep having no shepherd. We're not going to get any way unless we come to grips with the fact that we are blind and need a shepherd, and that shepherd is Jesus Christ our Lord. Furthermore, they were made captive by the evil one, and we know the evil one to be the devil himself. John chapter 8 and verse 44 calls him a murderer and the father of lies. And I say amen to that. I believe that. The fact that Satan is taking away from us all the people that need to come to faith in Jesus Christ, even our young boys and girls, Satan is taking them away from us. So the challenge before us is to move forward and get these young men and women come to faith in Jesus Christ. And I believe that it is possible. It can be done. It must be done because we are losing our community. If we are to go through every door with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the first priority I give to you, the first imperative, is that we must have an unhindered vision. Second thing I want to say, the second imperative is that we must have an unlimited compassion. An unlimited compassion. Matthew 9 and 36 says, it says, "But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd." The challenge before us is to have unlimited compassion for these who are lost. He saw the multitude. He was moved with compassion for them because they were sheep without a shepherd. Now, what is compassion? Compassion comes from a Greek word which means to feel deep pity. Do you have compassion on the people around you, your neighbor, who are not saved by the grace of God? Then we have to feel pity for them. The fact is that there was compassion by Jesus' touch. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 34, it says, "The crowd who wanted their eyes to be open receive a touch from Jesus." The people around us need to be touched. Matthew 20 and 34. The crowd who wanted their eyes to be open receive a touch. There was compassion by Jesus' touching and cleansing of a man who was a leper. In Mark chapter 1 and 41, Jesus reached out and touched this man. The word of God tells us that there was compassion by the father of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 and 20 and onwards, which said the father had compassion for his lost son. Today, we teach and preach, and we will talk about this today, I'm sure, in the message of this church, that there is a man, there is a person, God the Father, who wants to reach out to lost people because he loves them and he wants them to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Everything we do must show compassion for lost people. Everywhere we go, we need to show compassion for lost people who need to come to faith in Jesus Christ. It is going through every door and reaching lost people with the message of Jesus Christ. It is imperative that we do that because Jesus Christ died on a cross so that you and I could come to faith in Jesus Christ. At the age of 15, I came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and my Savior. And I believe at that time, at the age of 17, I would become a man of God that would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God has used me down through these many years to preach the message of Christ in my home and in this country, because no one can be saved unless they come to Jesus Christ. Jesus died for your sins and mine, and that's why we talk about it, because no one can come to faith in Jesus Christ unless through him. There are lots of people today who would even challenge us because they don't believe in the Christ that we believe in. They don't believe in the person that we believe in. And I feel sorry for them because they believe in what they consider to be another God or another gospel. But the word tells us that Jesus Christ is the only Savior from sin, because he died on a cross, shed his blood for our sins, and so that we can come to faith in Jesus Christ. We believe that. We teach that and continue. Even though there are people that would challenge us, we believe that. Keep on doing that, Pastor Pickett, because it works. I've seen it happen in my own life, in my own ministry. People coming to faith in Jesus Christ. It works. We must never, never give that up. Always a challenge before us. But the good Lord knows what we must do. I remember many years ago when I was in Tortola, I was doing what you call street preaching back then. And I remember one Sunday afternoon, after I had finished my morning service and did what we call street preaching, I said to those who were there, a crowd that were listening to me, I said, "We will be back here next Sunday at the same time doing the same thing we preach on the streets." And a young man came up to me and he said to me, "You are not coming back here next week to preach." I said, "Yes, I will. And I challenge you to join me." You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Because he could have gotten me scared. Yeah. But I didn't let that happen to me, because God told me that I'll be back here. Right. And I came back. I went back the next Sunday looking for the same person. Yeah. Well, he didn't show up. Because God, I said, is a good God and a great God and a loving God. Sometimes the things that you hear in your life, and the fact that Satan himself tries to even make us as preachers scared, but you stay with the word of God. God will take care of you. He will always take care of you. He will always be there. Because that's what he told us to do. And we see people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Well, I gave you the first imperative. We must have an unhindered vision. And the second thing I said, we must have an unlimited compassion. Compassion for people. Compassion for lost people. Because unless we do it, it won't happen. I just look at the boys, the young men and women who walk up and down my streets, and I wonder, what's going to happen to these young men and young girls unless we talk to them about who Jesus Christ is? He has the power to change their life and turn it around, no matter what is going on. Our country is in trouble, but we are not going to do any changes only by political means. We will do it by the means of Jesus Christ, changing the lives and turning people around. Well, my brothers and sisters, let me say the third thing, and then I'll be getting ready to close. We must have a united commitment. united commitment. Look at 37, verse 37 again. It says that the harvest truly is plentiful. What does that mean? It means that there are people out there who are lost and need to come to faith in Jesus Christ. How is that going to happen? Now, every now and then, somebody may walk into our church, and by the grace of God, by the power of God, they can hear a message from your pastor and come to faith in Christ. But the majority of cases don't happen that way. We have to reach out to them because there is a need to bring people to faith in Christ. He said the harvest is truly plentiful. There are those who are there that need to come to faith in Christ. So the challenge is there is a need to be committed to fervent praying in the church. The church does the less or the least of praying. And the challenge for us is to commit ourselves. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest because the laborers are few. There are people who come to faith in Jesus Christ, and some join the church, even our church in the city. But then sometimes people just sit around and wait for somebody to ask them to do something. When you read Acts chapter 9, when you get a chance to, and you see that is actually the salvation of Paul, Saul at that time. He didn't wait for anybody to call him to do anything, but he was challenged by the call of Jesus Christ. Yeah. So in the church today, instead of waiting on the preacher to ask you to serve, why don't you talk to him about serving yourself? Because nobody really needs to ask you to do that. God the Father save you. And then Paul says, if you read it when you get a chance, he said, what must I do? The word is do. It's an action word. What must I do? Who told him he needed to do something? The fact that his life was transformed gave him the opportunity that he had to do something. And as many of you know, I think he wrote about 13 books in the Bible and went everywhere preaching the word of God. So my challenge to you this morning is that the harvest is plentiful, and we need to come to faith in Jesus Christ. The second thing I want to say, prayer is a command. Matthew 6 and 6, it says in that verse, when you pray. There's nothing in the Bible that tells us that we need to beg for prayer. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 6, when you pray. That means it is something that you and I must do. I get up in the morning. Every morning early, I get up. And the first thing I do, I have a little place there. Pastor, I find a place where I can pray to the good Lord. That's the first thing I do every morning. And I find it helpful to me as I go about doing whatever I need to do. I want to challenge you to do the same thing, even if it's only 10 minutes. When you get up in the morning, talk to God. Tell him that you love him. Tell him that you thank him for giving you a good night's rest, and he helps you in everything that you have in life. Prayer is a command. In Psalms 55 and 17, it says, prayer should be offered morning, evening, and at noon. When you get a chance, you read that passage. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, there is a command. Pray without ceasing. You see that there? Pray without ceasing. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you ought to pray 24 hours of the day, but he's saying that you ought to be in the habit of prayer. You and I need to be in the habit of prayer on a day-by-day basis, even when you're driving by yourself, even when you're walking by yourself, even in your own office, you can spend some moment of silent prayer. It works, I tell you, my brothers and sisters. And we need to challenge everybody in our church today to have a time of prayer. As believers, I'll say two or three other things and then I'll be through. As believers, we must be committed to a fearless proclamation of the gospel. And what does that mean? That means that we must challenge ourselves to preach the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, not necessarily as a preacher, but you can do so as a Christian. Tell somebody about what Jesus Christ has done for you, and because he's done it for you, he can do it to them also and change their life and make it something worthwhile. Fearless. And why do I say that? Because there is challenge coming to churches and preachers, and you will be challenged one of these days. So what would be the question? What would be your response if you're challenged? There must be fearless proclamation. Again, what was Jesus doing in the cities and the villages? He was teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Let's do it. Jesus was doing it because he know that it works, and he know that he came to seek and to save. That's what the word says. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I remember someone coming to my home a few weeks ago, and they're from a denomination that don't talk about Jesus Christ. But they came to me, and perhaps came to the wrong place. But anyway, they started talking and said they had a message to talk to me about. I said, okay, go ahead. But the young lady, the two of them there, talk about something she said that's going to happen some years to come. So I listened to her, and then I stopped and I said, you know, you came to my home and you're talking to me about something that's going to happen some years down the road, but you haven't told me anything about Jesus Christ in the few minutes that you're here. And she tried to change her tune. She said, yes, I did. I said, no, you didn't. She said, yes, I did. I said, no, you didn't. I said, I'm going to give you one thing to think about as you leave. I know you're going to go away from me here and you won't come back. But anyway, Luke 19 and 10. Have you ever read that passage? You came here to my home, but you have never read it. You never read it to me, and I'm sure you have never read it. So she was stunned. I said, take some time. When you leave my house, read Luke 19 and 10, because you look puzzled right now. It seems to me you have never read it. So I said to her, let me read this to you, and you can read it when you go home. You all know what it says. Jesus Christ said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Put my name right in there. Put your name right in there. I was lost in sin, but Jesus Christ, who didn't have to do it, came and looked for me. I was lost, but Jesus Christ saved me. He will do the same thing for you if you ask him. He's able to do it. He's a loving God. He's a wonderful God. I challenge you today. Receive him into your life, and he will make all of the difference in you. Pastor Pickett, thank you so much. I challenge you so much, and you challenge me too. The Lord is still good in Jesus' name.